Line Willie, D Mays, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin hanging out with Derek Mason. Willie Donick will be along here in just a little bit. Caroline off this week on vacation. Hope you're having a great start to your day. We've had some fun on our show and decided we would transition, hang out, and talk some ball.
Let's do this. All right. I listened to y'all as I was coming into work.
And the college, I knew the college basketball question would get you excited.
And I like that question. And I was trying to get y'all to, you know, to answer who was my, you know, college
guy. Well, we both said Magic.
Guy. Well, Magic, but I didn't, you know, Magic was 70s, like late 70s.
Yeah, Magic. So when you were growing up, like, you were watching with the Lakers.
Exactly. I saw a game. It would have been State, but that was – I was so young. But I didn't pick him up really until he got to
I feel like this
LA.
Is an obvious answer.
Can't be. It's got to be before you – so before you were 18 years old, your favorite college basketball player of all time.
It was before I got in college.
So you grew up in Detroit.
Grew up in Detroit, and we've had some – you know, it's – basketball back then – was great back then.
Killing
you
know? Me, man.
It was great.
I'm trying to
you
figure
don't
this
know.
Out.
He
killing
had,
me.
He had a signature move. Every kid in the gym room, and they still talk about it to this day, you know, they may not use the move, or they use it and they may not necessarily call it that, but they got so many other moves.
So he wasn't at Michigan State.
Ramil Robinson.
Ramil Robinson was a Michigan guy, and I like Ramil Robinson.
Glenn Rice.
Glenn was... He was a beast.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Glenn Rice. No, he was at Michigan State. I give you all that.
Okay. He was at Michigan State.
He was at Michigan State.
He did play at Michigan State. That's easy. This should be easy now.
You're killing me. Oh, Steve Smith.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. All right.
We used to give him the Smitty. We used to give him the Smitty. That's all you used to hear. Smitty. Smitty.
Yes. Forgot. Had a nice career with the Hawks, wasn't
it? Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Dadgummit.
Yeah. So we used to give him the Smitty back in the days.
Oh, that's
and I'm
great.
Sure they still do it, but they may not call it the Smitty anymore. But, Steve Smith was a beast. They end up losing to the Kansas team with Danny Manning.
That in 88.
Yep, in 88. So they end up losing, and then they had some down years. Sean Rushbrook loved him at State, but that was with Judd Heathcote, but they didn't win much when Smitty left. So, but, yeah, man, Smitty. Obviously, you know, Webb and Jalen. Jalen had the Smitty down pat, though.
Oh, I bet.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, because both of them were about, they were the same body build, you know, body makeup. Both of them like 6'8", 6'7".
Isn't it crazy how great the Big Ten is at basketball, but they haven't won a title since 2000.
Yeah, you're right.
Michigan State.
Michigan State was the last team. But we've had some really good teams, whether it was a Michigan team. And I'm talking about, you know, this is past the Fab Five. But after Michigan State won it in 2000, Michigan had good teams. Wisconsin has good teams. Purdue, the last 2 years, they've had good teams. Who else? Illinois has some good teams. But we haven't been able to win the big, you know, national championship, man.
Isn't it crazy? The last time, Chase, I talked about this, Purdue's always there, number one, number two. They haven't been to the Final Four since 1980. And Kevin Stallings was on that team at Purdue.
Wow.
So was Joe Barry Carroll back in 1980.
When was the last time Indiana went? Was it with Steve Alford?
They won 2002. They got beat by Maryland, but the last time they won was 87.
They get beat by Maryland. That was what you call it on that team, wasn't it?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Lynn Bias, Reggie Williams. Who was on that Maryland team?
I'm looking right now. That's going to kill. Juan Dixon was on that team.
Oh, okay, that was Juan Dixon.
Steve Blake, Lonnie Baxter, Chris Wilcox, all the guys that played the next level.
Yeah. No, I was thinking about the kid, the kid that died from Maryland. He got drafted.
Lenny Bias,
yeah.
With the Celtics in 86.
Got drafted with the Celtics.
Second pick, man. He would have.
That's one of those great questions. Wow. Like, what if he had not died?
And as good as man, he was a baller in college.
Oh, yes.
Goodness gracious. So basketball growing up in Detroit, man, it was the end all be all. We love football, but the Lions wasn't doing good. So, I mean, they wasn't winning.
The was there ever a time?
Was the Pistons and the Tigers.
That's right.
Well, the Red Wings was winning, obviously, but I wasn't in that much into hockey. But those two teams, the Tigers and the Pistons.
Yeah. You started playing football like midway through high school, right? Or did you
organized football, yeah. Junior year in high school. And didn't want to play then.
Did you play basketball too?
Yeah, I played basketball.
Is that where you wanted to go?
I wanted to play basketball, but I quickly realized I wasn't going to grow to be 6'4", 6'5". Hell, I wasn't going to grow to be 6'1".
Mason, you're too small.
Yeah, Mason.
Play football.
You may want to go over there. Nah, but, I played it begrudgingly. I mean, it was, I'm sitting, and I've told this story before. My old high school, the high school track coach was also the football coach.
Yeah.
And I had just transferred to Mumford High School. Big ups to Mumford High School. Transferred to Mumford High School in the second semester of my ninth grade year. Started playing basketball because my uncle knew the head basketball coach. So I started off on JV, played JV my freshman year, and then some of my sophomore year. And then I was in the gym room, and I remember my coach, Coach Robert Lynch, he used to always say, "Boy, you don't need to be playing that damn basketball." And that's how he sounded. "Boy, you don't need to be playing that damn basketball. You need to get on the track field or get on the football field. You need to be playing that damn basketball." I'm like, "Man, whatever." And I didn't want to get out there. So we were playing in the gym room one day, a bunch of us just playing pickup game. And I went to dunk the basketball. I could dunk back then.
Holy cow.
I went to dunk the basketball, and I heard something pop in my hip. I don't know what it was. I sat there. And I didn't move for like 2 hours. I didn't move because it was gym time, and I knew Coach Lynch would say something.
Oh, no.
I knew he would say something like, "See, boy, I told you not to play that damn basketball." And so I'm sitting in there against the bleachers. Lucky it was after school, and they had went through practice and everything, and I'm sitting there, and he finally come up. "What's wrong, boy?" I'm like, "Hurt my hip. I told you, don't play that damn basketball. Let me call your mama." Call my mom.
Oh, no.
My mom, because my dad was at work, I believe. Called my mom. Mom came and picked me up. I had to go to the doctor. I end up pulling something or tearing something in my hip.
Got Bo Jackson injury?
So I couldn't do anything ever since then. And then when I come back in the gym room, "See, boy, you need to be out there on the track field." So after that, I started running indoor track. And then my junior year, he was like, "Come out for football." I was like, "All right." I mean, I played all my,
right.
I played a lot with my brothers in the neighborhood. I played tight end. Because we didn't throw the football.
Right.
We did not throw the football.
What?
We ran
a tight end?
Yes. 24 power, 26 power, 25 power, 23 power. That's all we did was right and left. All we did. Because we had some really good running backs. It was 26 power, 25 power. That's all we ran. And he would throw me a ball every now and then at the tight end position. And so I started to get some recognition. So then my senior year, the best thing happened. It was a bad thing, but it turned out to be a good thing. Coach Lynch got suspended. Not because he did anything. It wasn't that he did something egregious. There was a kid that transferred in from us. He transferred from, I think, Brother Rice in Michigan. Transferred to Mumford. And he couldn't play, but coach thought he could play once the playoffs start.
Oh.
So he put him in a few plays. We end up winning the game. We end up beating King. And King was one of the best teams in the city for many years. And they were one of the best teams in the state. We end up beating King. The kid played two plays.
He got
Don't you know that coach called? And he ain't even had – he played at the end of the game.
Yeah,
there. Somebody called and told and said, this kid played. So we had to forfeit the city championship, and then Coach Lynch got suspended for the next following year, which was a good thing because our quarterback Jimmy Hill was a really good baseball player. He was a pitcher. He played football too.
Was that Jamel's brother?
No, it wasn't Jamel's brother. He was a pitcher, but he ended up being he was a receiver started off. But he ended up being a quarterback because T'Challa ended up graduating. He was like a 6'4 quarterback, big dude. He ended up graduating. Jimmy ended up being a quarterback. And he ended up being a quarterback because the baseball coach had to be the football coach.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. He was the offensive coordinator anyway, but he had to be the football coach, had to be the head coach. So Fig was like, "F that. We throwing the ball. Like, we throwing the ball. I was like, yes, and Jimmy and I.
So you moved out wide.
Man, yeah, I moved out wide. Me and Jimmy would connect all day, every day. But Jimmy was originally a receiver. He was a really good receiver.
Right.
But he was forced to play quarterback because he was the pitcher, too. So they figured, you know. Hey.
So that got you to Michigan State.
That got me to Michigan State.
Well, absolutely. You laughed at me, but you graduated with Jamel Hill.
Oh, yeah. Her and I were in the same draft class. Me and high school.
She's been
class. Yeah. Her and I went to high school together, went to college together. She played on a softball team in high school. I think she ran track briefly, but she was a softball player. So we knew each other, and went to state together. Once we got to state, you know, we all went our separate ways in a sense. But when we see each other.
Yeah. What was it like going to high school with Axel Foley?
Axel Foley, man, when that shirt came out, it put our school on the map.
Come on, man. That's
such great.
Come
on. It put our school on the map, Mumford High School. But they've since redid where they tore it down and built a whole new school.
That had to, because before we talk about Beverly Hills Cop, Axel Foley from Mumford, but Jerry Bruckheimer, the great film producer, went to your high school.
Yes.
And that's how he got the Mumford T-shirt.
Exactly. It's a bunch of people, man. We got some famous people that went to Mumford, man. Come on now.
Gilda Radner went. I got the list pulled up here. Derek Mason's on this list.
Rosanna Dana went to Mumford High School?
Yeah, right here. There's Derek Mason. There's Jerry Bruckheimer. There's Ivan Boesky went to your high school.
I don't know who the hell is that.
He got involved in the Wall Street insider trading in the
80s. Oh, we
don't
need him to be a part of my high school.
Gilda Radner, Bruce Joel Rubin, who wrote Ghost.
See, we got
Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins.
I need to go talk to Stephen Ross.
Why don't we?
Yeah, we need to hit Stephen Ross up. He went to Mumford High. We need to hit Stephen Ross up.
That's right.
I'm gonna make that happen.
He needs to make you a part owner of the.
Hey, I need to make that happen.
Hey, this is a triumvirate here. Three of us. We're going wherever Derek goes, we go.
Yeah, I like that plan.
Derek,
I didn't know
class
Ross
reunion?
Went there. I need to talk. What year was he? Do they say what year?
No, does not say.
I need to find out what year he was.
What'd you say, Dr. Crane?
I said, when's your class reunion, D Mace?
We've had one. I haven't went to any of my class reunions, because it's usually during the football season, and you know my boss won't let me off during the football season.
You've never asked.
I know. I'm just no, but
you're
usually,
right. It wouldn't.
It's usually during that time, so it's like, man, I'm not going because it's like a game that weekend. So, yeah, you know. But
this walk down memory lane with Derek Mason, presented by.
Derek Mason.
Possibly you. 615-737-1025. Coach T wants to weigh in on the NCAA tournament. Coach T, what's up?
Man, D Mace, you did everything right, baby, instead of talking about, you know, that neighbor you had across Lake Michigan, baby, in Chi-Town. We had to run that 90. You already know that. Morgan Park High School, baby. Put him on the map. Shannon Jr. Hey, I tell you what, you know, I'm going to give you a super-duper one, Mace, because I think that out of this East region, Tom Izzo is always ready. And I think that, you know, he roughs up UConn. I don't think UConn repeats like a lot of people said. Hadn't done it in, a little over a decade with Billy Donovan. And I think that their trip to get back is the toughest. And I got my Illini sitting in that East Coast, too. And I think they'll come out of that East Coast. And even though Houston got beat up on real bad, Kevin Sampson is going to go back and correct that mistake. And they'll be ready to play by far the toughest defense in the nation right now. So I think on the Final Four side, I think Zach Edey gets Purdue back. The Illinois comes on the other side with Carolina and Houston as my Final Four this year.
Okay. All right.
Carolina
and
Houston. Oh, boy. Carolina hadn't been there. When was the last time Carolina went to the Final
Four?
Was it a couple years ago?
Hubie's first year, right?
Yeah, was it 2-3 years ago? Yeah.
Is that when they lost to that was the Eric Church scandal, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That 22. They got beat by Kansas.
Yeah. Because that was Hubie's first year.
Yeah.
And then last year they didn't even make the
tournament. Hubie Brown?
No.
Hubert Davis.
Hubert Davis. Right. I'm looking at that, you know, it's going to be tough for UConn. Not necessarily. I look at, you know, possibly the Auburn game could be tough if Auburn makes it that far.
I think Auburn can be a team that can mess up some brackets.
You can't count Bruce Pearl out, man.
No.
So it's just somehow, some way he gets that team to go on. I'm looking at where we at with Michigan State. State. I don't have my son. I mean,
they play Mississippi State.
Yeah, they play Mississippi State. But that region with Carolina, them, Alabama, man, that's a tough region.
We were talking yesterday about these, like Hurley.
Mississippi State is pretty good, too.
Hurley was on CBS, Yelp, or ESPN this week, yelping about the region he got because there's three Final Four teams from last year, including his own. And I'm thinking, I told Chase this, you're in.
Exactly.
You're why in. Do, who cares?
Like, why do teams like that, why do you complain? Are you scared that your team may lose?
Yeah.
Are you not right? that confident in your team? Like, dude, it's – they're going to put you in the bracket. They're going to try to seed you. Maybe they're seeding you in this bracket because they believe you can have an upset, you know?
Yeah.
And how would that, you know, that would be great for television. It's all about theater, man, when it comes to seeding all these teams.
It is.
It's
and people theater. Complaining left yeah, and right. Just like, go play a game.
Exactly. Stop complaining, man. You're in. There are a lot of other teams that ain't in. Go ahead and take care of business, you know? Only thing you got to do is put the ball through the basket. Easier said than done.
That's right.
I just, you know, last year, I mean, we see it every year, but yep. last year there were a ton of upsets.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, Purdue was, you know, a big one that got upset.
And I see Purdue
one.
Getting upset again, man. I just.
Here's what I'll say about Purdue. Uh-huh. If they're ever going to win it, it's got to be now.
It. Yeah.
Like, they keep getting there and then fumbling the ball.
Well, they've had the player of the year of the last two seasons. And, you know, they end up, you know, losing last year. They end up letting Wisconsin come back
yep.
and win the Big Ten championship. To me, that's just a prelude to what's going to happen in the big tournament. You know, they end up winning the first round, second round, and then get to the Sweet 16, and they end up losing.
What one seed concerns you the most between – UConn, Houston, Purdue, and North Carolina. You think it's the most vulnerable? It's the best way to put it.
Most vulnerable. I would say Carolina because they're on Michigan State side, but I'm not going to be a homer. I'm not going to do that.
I mean, North Carolina's pretty good.
Yeah, North Carolina's pretty good. But Alabama's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I would say Purdue, man. I really would. And it's not because I think, you know, these teams that are in their bracket – you know, whether it's a Texas or a Tennessee. Or
I
South
think Tennessee
Carolina.
Can beat Purdue.
Yeah, I do. I think Tennessee plays physical ball. Their defense is – they got one of the best defensive units in college basketball. I think they will, you know, muck it up with Purdue if indeed they got that far. But I think it's Purdue. Not because I don't think Purdue's a good team. I just don't – they had an opportunity last year.
Yeah,
basically with the same group of guys, and they didn't win it. This group end up losing. You know, if you're going to get to the Big Ten championship, you might as well win it, and you end up losing. It was like you had that game in control, and you end up allowing, well, Wisconsin took the game, sent it in overtime, and then end up beating you. You got arguably the best player in college basketball on your team, and you can't win. To me, Purdue is that team because you never know what you're going to get.
615-737-1025. Mike wants to weigh in, has a comment on Kentucky. Mike, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So what I don't understand is I like to look at all the professional basketball analysts and everybody that I've seen. Like, okay, everybody's a stretch. A lot of people are picking Kentucky to go all the way to the Final Four. What have they seen in Kentucky that we haven't seen watching SEC play all year that makes them think that Kentucky can run the table in that side of the region?
That's a great question, Mike.
Because they're Kentucky?
Yeah,
because
they're Kentucky. I mean, I think everybody kind of got fooled because they finished the season strong. You know, they beat Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But then they lay an egg in the tournament here, the SEC tournament.
Yes.
So, I don't know. This is, like, honestly, I'm going to put Cal and Rick Barnes in the same category of, like, I know now the difference is Cal, you know, they did win one year, but you got to do something. Like it's like that meme with the guy with the stick. Like, do something. Like, just you gotta do something in the tournament. Like, I'm tired of all this talk of like, oh yeah, they're so great, Kentucky. Do
hey,
something.
Listen, Kentucky is a good basketball team, but
that's a tough bracket though.
But they will Cal. Coach Cal will coach Cal.
Yeah,
that's basically what it is. They will listen. they score 110 points.
Sure.
But they also will give up 115. So you don't know which defensive team you're going to get. After watching them, you know, throughout the season and then in the SEC champ in the SEC tournament, I don't know if they because to me you can't turn it off and can't turn it on. If you're a great team, you're a great team no matter if you're playing in your tournament. Yeah, my light just fell. If you're playing in your tournament or if you're playing in the big tournament, if you're playing in a conference tournament or you're playing in the big tournament, who you are should always show up. And it seems like Kentucky didn't. It was like, how can you come to play basketball and not show up?
Yeah.
I don't understand that part. Like, how can you come to play basketball and take it as, you know, the big tournament starts in a couple weeks. We'll be fine. We don't care about this tournament. How can you not care about this tournament?
It's because, I think they care about the tournament. But the thing for me is John Calipari is one of the most overrated coaches in college basketball.
Yeah, he's a damn good recruiter. But when it comes to coaching,
he can recruit, but like the X, it's like Penny.
Yeah,
you know the thing with Penny in Memphis. Penny's a hell of a recruiter, but he can't coach.
Yeah, the X's and the O's.
You know, like, and he doesn't have that to help him. You know, doesn't have that person to help him during a game. You know, with the whole game management part of it. I mean, the thing that used to drive me crazy with those Memphis teams that Cal had, they couldn't hit free throws. That's fundamental basketball.
Those teams don't exist anymore.
Well, I know. They were erased. They were erased.
Cal's been good. His team at UMass that made the 96 Final Four vacated.
Yeah, that was.
His 08 team vacated. The 96, was that Marcus Camby on that team? I don't remember, but that was that. Remember when Calipari got in a fight with John Chaney?
I remember.
Came in the press conference there. John Chaney would have whooped his ass every which way possible, man. That's when it was fun back then. He was at Temple.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they showed that recently.
Yeah, he was at Temple, and they were just going at each other, man. That was some good times back then. But I agree. I mean, the problem with Cal, you look at all the talent he's put in the NBA.
Yeah.
And you're like, you only won one championship with all those guys that went in? I mean, that was even the 2010 team, he had John Wall. And that team, that was his first year at Kentucky. And then, of course, he won in 12 with Anthony Davis. But so all that talent that's rolled through there, only one title. Man, oh, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, if you're asked, I know Cal will never get fired. I don't think they have the fortitude to fire him because of the recruits that he bring in. Let Cal lead Kentucky. They ain't going to be getting those five-star recruits anymore. And that's the problem. He's such a damn good recruiter that it's like we don't want to let him go because he does get the players. But, damn, we need championships, man.
Yep.
And that's what he hasn't been able to give them, man.
He's been there how long?
And that's why he should be on the hot seat.
2010. Who was there before Calipari, remember? Kentucky?
What you call it? His son played for them.
Played 3 years. He coached Kentucky for 3 years.
He won a championship.
It was Tubby.
There
was one in
between
Tubby.
Tubby was for him.
Tubby was right before him, yeah. Billy Gillespie.
Billy Gillespie, yeah. That's right.
Got in trouble up there. Then I ended up going to A&M for a while. I don't know where he is now. But, yeah, Tubby was honored here this past weekend as an SEC legend. Yeah.
Tubby, look, I know everybody goes, well, he won it with Patino's team, and maybe
and
he did.
So?
Tubby was a good coach.
He won it. That's all that matter.
Jeff Shepard. Ron Mercer had left and gone to the pros.
Gillespie was where before Kentucky? Was he on the Florida staff with
no,
Donovan?
I don't think so. No, he was some – no. Talk amongst yourselves.
That's a random question. It doesn't matter. It's just a random.
But, yeah, Kentucky, I can see them winning a championship. I can also see them getting put out in second round.
I just think this draw for them, I mean, they have to deal with Houston. They have to deal with Wisconsin. They have to deal with Duke. Marquette. I mean, Marquette's pretty good. Florida's been playing well.
Mm-hmm. So, Gillespie was at UTEP, then A&M, then Kentucky. Took a year
A&M,
off.
That's right.
Went to Texas Tech. He was at Ranger College for six seasons, and now he's at Tarleton State.
Oh, love Tarleton State.
I don't. Did they make the tournament?
I have
no
idea.
Tarleton State, somewhere down in Texas.
Okay.
So that's they ran him out. I mean, he wasn't going to happen. They ran him out of town.
Yeah, no doubt. Coming up next, I'm excited about this because I haven't gotten to talk to my best friend in a while, and Joe hadn't either. Tim Hasselbeck going to join us here on the program. Willie will be along at the end of the hour. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace at Bridgestone Arena today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It feels so good to hear this. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Big Joe Dubin in for Caroline, and Willie. Willie will be along in a few minutes. It's been so long since I've gotten to talk to my best friend, Tim Hasselbeck, Innsworth High School football coach, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us now. Hello, Tim. What's up?
What's up, fellas? Man, it's good to be on with you guys again. Feels like, I don't know, long enough ago that, like, I had hair, maybe. It's been that long.
Yeah, I think you did.
I think last time, like, we had a regular spot, I think I had a comb over. So, like, it's good to be back on with you guys.
You might have. This is just such a pleasure.
So did you call Chase and tell him you took the job as head coach at Innsworth when it happened?
Yeah, I knew like a week before.
Oh, okay. Dude. My bad.
Yeah, listen. Not only that, when Pete Bammel reported that Matthew was going to be the offensive coordinator, like Chase had been sitting on that for months.
I mean, I sat in Tim's kitchen with Matthew, man. And we, you know, I mean, it was a pretty intense interview. Matthew just thought he could walk in and get it, and we got to vet this, man.
Hey, Chase is being humble right now. He's the one that sealed the deal. Okay? Like I thought it was close. You know, we shared a room as kids growing up. Like I thought I had it, but it was like, listen, you can be friends with guys like Chase if you come down here. He's like, I'm in.
He's in.
Hey, quick question. I do. It's more of a serious question, Tom. Because
did you think I was not serious? Just
okay, he was serious. Oh, but on another note, let's say that. I was thinking about this the other day. Well, I've been thinking about it for a while, and I meant to ask you the last time we had you on. You know, having your brother, you know, y'all two growing up in football with your dad being a coach or whatnot, and a player. Growing up in football and you two always, you know, battling one another and always being there for one another. Then both y'all, ironically, both y'all playing the NFL. And then you end up here. Well, he ends up here first because he plays with the Titans. Then you end up here with your family. How is it, one, to...
We just adopted Tim.
Exactly. How is it, one, to now be coaching with your brother, but then to have your brother here in the same state?
Yeah, I would just say this. Like, it's interesting how, like, football experience. We grew up, my dad gets drafted by the Patriots. So, like, we grew up and, like, football was the family business. And so, like, that's why we probably wanted to be football players. And then, you know, because we didn't live around family, we were the only ones in Massachusetts, you know. And so, like, that's just we were close because we kind of had to be. And so every step of the way for me, so whether when Matthew and I were teammates in high school, whether when we were teammates in college, like, you know, I have never had a jealous bone in my body for him and his success. And I think the same thing goes, you know, for him in terms of, you know, anything that I've done in football. And I just remember when I was playing, like, the first person I would call after a game was him. And then, and kind of a similar thing for him when he was playing, call me and say, like, hey, what did you think? And so I think that any time, and you guys know this, like, at any level, when you're part of a team, it's great to be around guys that you love being around and enjoy spending time with and enjoy working with, because, like, you are creating great memories for the coaches, for the players, for the families that are involved in it. And so it's that, for me, that makes, you know, the experience special. And listen, wins and losses will come and all of that stuff will happen. But, you know, it is the relationships and the experience. And, like, I guarantee you, every single one of you guys can remember a team that you were on and something, just a great memory that happened at any level. Could have been Little League Baseball, you know, when, you know, a buddy hit a home run for the first time. Like, there's always those markers on your life, and I'm excited to be a part of those and excited to be a part of those, you know, with my own brother again and doing something different.
It's going to be awesome for sure. Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. And so, Tim, with last week, the news that Calvin Ridley's coming to the Titans, going to obviously have DeAndre Hopkins on the other side, Treylon Burks, you know, who knows what that's going to look like. But the weapons that Will Levis now has. I think it's going to be really beneficial. So how does that take some pressure off of him going into year two, his first full year as a starter, knowing that he's going to have a lot of options in this offense?
Yeah, I think the big thing is anytime we're talking about quarterback evaluation and how someone will play is always remembering that it is still a dependent position. You know, no matter how good you are, like the guys around you make a big difference. Now, some players are just, you know, can overcome it better than others, but those cases are rare. You know, most everybody that plays quarterback in the National Football League is still super dependent on the play caller, the offensive line, the talent at receiver. And I would just say that, you know, it feels as though in recent memory, you know, especially like the pass catchers, that the Titans are in a better spot than they've been in the past. And then, you know, you would think that the offensive line is going to continue to improve as they, you know, invest in young players at that, you know, at those positions that, you know, presumably will get better. I do think that there should be some encouragement about how that group will be coached, the offensive system and how that can oftentimes protect the quarterback. And so, yeah, I think that he should be excited about the opportunity because if it doesn't work, who knows? I mean, look at what's happened to Justin Fields. Who knows when you'll get another opportunity?
Yeah, you're right about that, Tim. We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head football coach at the Denver Tigers. Now, Tim, we've been getting questions, whether it be on this show or shows within this station, about the Titans and them filling the holes that they have offensively and defensively. And they have too many holes to all fill at one point or in one off season. But, you know, I think some fans feel that they should be able to fill those holes in the off season because they always point to, every time I hear it, well, Houston did it. Well, Houston was a little bit different. It didn't take them a year. They got a home run on their quarterback, and if you get a home run on your quarterback, then that sort of eases the pain everywhere else because you feel if I got my franchise quarterback, he's going to win us some games that, frankly, if we didn't have him, we were not going to win. It doesn't make us a overall better team. It makes us better at that position, and you need to be good at that position. But I think some Titan fans feel that the Titans should fill all of their holes this season. Well, you may be able to do it, but it's not with starting caliber players.
Yeah, I think that what happens is anybody that feels like, hey, we're going to replace them all, like you have to understand how rare it is. And so everyone can be like, hey, like Houston Texans. But, like, look at a bunch of other teams that have been trying to get it right for a while. Like, hasn't Atlanta tried to get it better? They'll fill their holes. Hasn't New Orleans tried to fill the holes that they've had or – you know, the Chargers for that matter. And like, look, you got to beat the market, like plain and simple. Like, really, did everyone think Nico Collins was going to turn out the way that he's turned out, or that Tank Dell drafted in the third round a year ago was going to be, you know, as good as he, you know, has been? I think you could look at a team like the Detroit Lions and people be like, hey, look at the resurgence. Well, look, they kind of lucked in, not kind of, they lucked into this. They acquired Jared Goff to absorb a contract, you know, like they, and then he turned out to be still a young ascending player. And then at receiver, look, they kind of got it right a little bit with Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth round. And so like, then you look up and you go, wait a minute, like how'd they turn the corner? Like, they beat the market in some of those areas, but that even didn't happen overnight. Like, Goff's first year wasn't a smooth ride. The defense 2 years ago was a disaster. So, I think anybody that thinks there's a quick fix in the NFL and you can point to just one team where that's the case, like, I just don't think it's a realistic expectation.
Yeah, me either, because I look right up the street in Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, you know, they were great last year. But, you know, it took them years, even with their quarterback, it took them another year. Once they started, you know, filling holes year after year, then they finally filled what they felt was enough of the holes. The quarterback really got on point, and then they started winning. So I think we look at teams And it's just like the society we're in right now. Everybody sees the end part. They don't see the years that you put in to get to the end part. And sometimes Titan fans look at teams like Cincinnati, teams like Houston, other teams that may have had good records this year after being bad in previous seasons. They look at it as, well, they did it in one season. Why can't the Titans do it in one season? No, they didn't do it in one season. It was multiple right. seasons before they got to a point where they were good enough to start winning.
Yeah, listen, exactly right. Like, I think sometimes we are, like, how we remember things and the history of how we remember things, like, isn't exactly accurate, right? Like, I feel like I hear people talk about it all the time, like, oh, yeah, you know, when, like, Ryan Tannehill, you know, got to Tennessee, it's like, guys, remember when Ryan Tannehill came to Tennessee, he was backing up Marcus Mariota. Like, he was basically saying, like, yeah, I don't think I'm still a backup, but I'm here as the backup. And I'm just waiting for my opportunity, and when I get it, I'm going to take advantage of it. Like, that's how that happened. It wasn't, hey, we're bringing Ryan Tannehill here because we know he's going to be our starting quarterback and give us a chance. Like, and so, you know, I do think sometimes, I mean, I actually remember that conversation going on, you know, with my brother in Seattle. Like, when my brother came to Tennessee, to like, you know, and then they started talking about the history, you know, of the Seattle Seahawks and quarterbacks, and it was like, look, it didn't go Matt Hasselbeck, Russell Wilson. Like, remember, there was, like, you know, Tavares Jackson and Charlie Whitehurst in there as well. Like, you know, I think sometimes we just conveniently, you know, other teams that we, you know, aren't fans, maybe aren't following as closely, you know, omit certain eras of their history when it's not really kind of how it went.
How dare you, Tim, this is Big Joe, how dare you leave out Dave Craig? How dare you?
Dave Craig.
Listen, that's a great name for the NFL crossover grid. I appreciate you bringing that one up.
All 5'9" of him in a jersey that was eight times too big for him, but he was a heck of a quarterback. Look, he's a guy that made the most of his opportunity, right?
Oh, no question about it.
Fantastic. Also, another thing. Are you, when you do two-a-days at Innsworth, are you going to do what Bear Bryant did at Texas A&M, no water?
I think things have changed. Things have changed in regard to two-a-days, hitting, and those types of things. We're going to, you know, like that saying of, like, smarter, not harder.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we're... Yeah, a little bit like D-Mace when he cuts his lawn. You know what I mean? Like, work smarter, not harder. Right?
You know, that was the worst thing when I was in college because I was a long snapper. You'd have the two-a-days, and then in the middle of two-a-days, you'd have special teams practice. And you were like, why did I ever want to become a long snapper? This is the worst. Three-a-days were awful.
Long snapper, is that, if you want to come work with the long snappers, Joe, like, I, you know, that's not my area of expertise. So, like, you want to come down and work with a long snapper, you got an open invite.
I'll be there in about 30 minutes. I will see you there. Real quick, we'll talk football. But we
about practice when you come. Like, that's the only situation.
Look, as long as you feed me, I don't care what we do. As long as I get to eat. Hey, we had a question earlier. This is non-football, but who's your all-time favorite college basketball player when you were growing up, Tim?
Ooh, all-time favorite college basketball player. You're putting me on the spot there on that one. Take it back. This is going to be terrible. I'm going to make a lot of enemies saying this. It's going to be so bad. I liked Christian Laettner.
Oh.
Yeah, you made a bunch of enemies out there. Everybody that didn't attend, the people that attended Duke, they love you. But the people that didn't attend Duke, they hate
I mean,
you.
Like, how, but like, isn't that crazy? Like, how is it that I liked Christian Laettner? Like, I mean, but I did, I don't know what it was. Like, it was like, Duke was good. I enjoyed watching them play. Like, so I think I would have to say Christian Laettner.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some people that have weighed in as well, okay. Christian Laettner, because, I mean, you go back and not, you know, when you're 25 and 30, it means different to you. But when you're growing up and you see these guys, it means it's a whole new world. Like, these guys, you go to the gym and you think you're Christian Laettner, and, you know, we all did at some point. So that's a good answer, Tim. Don't be ashamed of your answers, buddy.
Well, listen, I, like, I guess if you had asked me who I think the best basketball player of all time is, and I've seen this like LeBron and Jordan debate, which I think is silly because clearly it's Larry Bird. And so, like, I think with that, like, I think it just is like a natural track. Maybe he reminded me of Larry Bird.
Yeah, exactly. Real quick, I won't go to the break, but there was a thread on Facebook about favorite tight ends in the 70s and 80s. And my favorite tight end of all time was Russ Francis. Did your dad play with him?
Oh, my dad was teammates with Russ Francis. And I've been told, now I think this is maybe one of those like history lessons, but I've been told that Russ Francis could throw a football 100 yards.
Ooh. I believe it.
I think was that was like just one of those like those folk tales, or was it true?
Yeah. No, but I've heard he was like an Olympic javelin thrower. He's an incredible, incredible athlete. And, yeah, I was told in, by reliable sources with my same last name.
Great,
throw
man.
Football 100 yards.
Nice.
Oh, that is fantastic. Tim, it is so good to talk to you on the radio. I know we have our you know our weekly phone call, but it's good to chat, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. See you, fellas.
Have a good one.
Tim Hasselbeck, Innsworth High School football coach and ESPN NFL analyst. React to some of that coming up next, 105, 106.3 The Game. Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live at Bridgestone Arena, Chase McCabe in today. Willie is going to be joining in just a second. Appreciate Joe for hanging out. Good stuff with Tim Hasselbeck.
Yeah, that was. And I asked him that question because, you know, I think sometimes people, and we're all guilty of it, and I think that's the way our society is, especially, you know, the younger kids, because of the advent of social media and everything. They see the end part.
Yeah.
They don't see the 10, 15, 20 years that it took for an individual to become a millionaire or a billionaire. They just look at, it takes time. It takes years. It might even take a decade for you to get the money that these people are saying that they have. And it's the same way with sports. To me, people look at it, they did it in 1 year. They did it in 1 year. No, they didn't do it in 1 year. There's no team in the National Football League that does it in 1 year. It takes years. The Detroit Lions, it took them 20-some years to get to a point that they're at now. But if you ask anybody else, they think the Lions did it overnight.
Right.
It took the Houston Texans 4 or 5 years to build the team that they have now. But people just look at it and say, they did it overnight. It took Jacksonville years to have the talent that they have now. But what do people think? They did it overnight, so why can't the Tennessee Titans do it? Don't believe that you can do it. You can't.
It's not.
You may be able to say the Titans were what? 6-12 last year, somewhere?
6-11.
6-11?
7-10 the year before.
Exactly. So they had 2 years of down years.
Yep.
They're trying to build their roster back up. If they win, if they do it the way that people say they should do it, just go out there and get free agents and all these, it's not sustainable. It's only going to last you a year, maybe two.
Yeah.
Jacksonville is going through the same. Now they got to keep retooling their team. Why? Because they went for it. They had a good season. And then last year, they regressed again.
Yeah. Well, and Houston was the surprise team.
Exactly. Why? Because they had the quarterback.
Right. And now Houston, like we were talking about this with John McClain, Houston is trying to stay in front of it because they know they kind of overachieved.
Exactly.
Now they got to play a first place schedule that they're probably not ready for. Mm-hmm. And so they've overspent a little bit in free agency trying to stay ahead of the curve, even though my guess is Houston's probably going to regress a little bit.
That does happen sometimes. You have a year where you kick up and then you play a tougher schedule and maybe things don't go as smoothly and you regress a little bit. I also would be careful, too, if teams are saying, or if people are saying, well, the Titans have been bad the last couple years, so they could come back. I still look at the last two seasons as the old era. They weren't rebuilding. They were going for it in those 2 years. They were pushing with veteran players up against the cap. And as we've said many times, playing a veteran quarterback, what he deserved to be paid, paying Derrick Henry, paying Kevin Byard. So they were pressed up against the cap. So they weren't in the rebuilding process. They were sort of going for it. So now this year is the first time they have money to spend. But I think this is the first year of a rebuild. So I think the expectations should be low accordingly. But there are times where you surprise people, right? You get an easier schedule, and you're going to have opportunities there. But I still think on paper, this is a team where I'm going to keep my expectations measured here.
Yeah, look, and the offense may be better where they put up, you know, I think we were talking about this yesterday. They might put up 27, but they might give up 31 because they don't have a lot on defense. So
not right now.
You know, that's the problem. They have reportedly signed defensive lineman Sebastian Joseph Day. So that's the latest addition. I will turn things over to Willie Donick. I know you're up from Morning Skate. A little news coming from when it comes to the defense with the Predators. So I'll turn things over to you for hour number two here on Caroline Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.